you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy today to be speaking with Marie Davis, who is a launch manager for Georgia Center for Employee Ownership. Did I get it right, Marie?
You did.
What is a launch manager?
When the centers open up, and I'll explain all that in a little bit,
Yeah. Someone
has to sort of pave the way for education in the community and, you know, going to the chambers and talking about what we do. And so before they hire an executive to get director, they sort of get the word out, and I'm the launch manager.
Very cool. I love the title launch manager. That's fantastic. I actually had a job where my title was literally riding shotgun. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I kind of like it.
Open-ended.
That's right. And that's what it ended up being too. What is the Georgia Center for Employee Ownership?
Well, the Georgia Center was created to educate business owners and their advisors about what Congress created back in the 70s, which is employee ownership, to be a central hub for knowledge and referral to advisors who can help businesses decide if this is right for them. So it dates all the way back to the 70s, but the Georgia Center's only been around for a couple of years.
When was the center founded?
About 2 years ago. And of course, what happened to everyone else? COVID hit. So we didn't really get off the board until the end of last year, but we're hitting the ground running.
Got it. And how did legislation influence the push for employee ownership of companies and businesses, I guess, right?
Well, what really pushed that is what we're going to get into in a little bit, which is we call it the silver tsunami. And small businesses being the lifeblood of the community, when you have over half the businesses in Georgia, privately owned businesses, people who are over 55, and coupled with COVID, where people just gave up and closed their doors, you've got a huge problem coming where a lot of small businesses, especially in rural communities, if they close, that causes a loss of jobs, loss of income, takes the money out of the state. And actually 6 out of 10 business owners do not have a succession plan. So they think that apparently, and because people have forgotten about this wonderful vehicle, they think that they will just sell their business and 6 out of 10 will not find a buyer.
Wow. That's kind of shocking.
It is very shocking, and it's very scary.
Yeah, very scary. The numbers alone, it's devastating for a community if 6 out of 10 just fold up and go away.
Which could very well happen because COVID, as you know, closed a lot of especially small businesses, and people just gave up.
Yeah, people did just give up. So how many centers are there? And let's go over the figures again. How many employee-owned companies are there in Georgia?
Well, in Georgia, there are approximately 150. And really, there are nationwide thousands and thousands that fit the model, and in Georgia, thousands that fit in the model. So each state center tries to get that information out, in Georgia being the absolute newest. But there are some older ones. For instance, Colorado, their governor had 2 businesses. And when he was elected, he sold his businesses back to the employees. So he's very, very pro-employee ownership. Texas is just getting started. Florida, Vermont, Pennsylvania, New York, Indiana, Rhode Island, California has a huge contingency. So Georgia is the newest and ready to roll.
Yeah, no kidding.
There are 18 centers, I believe.
So, wait, 8 centers in Georgia?
No, I'm sorry. Only 1 in Georgia, 18 nationwide.
I get it. Okay, very cool. And is that the secret? I mean, is that the push is to get all these independently owned businesses to actually look at succession plans to their owners, obviously. But there's a part of my brain that wants to say, why isn't that just common sense already?
I think people have forgotten about it. And so that's what our goal is. Our mission is to make sure that every business owner in Georgia knows that this is an option. Mm-hmm. And we are on a mission to create as many employee-owned businesses and putting the power in the hands of the people who actually do the work, rather than some private entity coming in, buying the business, and taking the power away from the employees.
Right.
It very much puts ownership in their hands. Let me talk right here about a couple of very well-known employee-owned companies. Mm-hmm. If you've ever walked into a Publix, they are 100% employee-owned.
Huh.
And if Clif Bars, if you've ever eaten a Clif Bar, they have just recently become employee-owned. And I don't know the facts and figures on those companies, but they have to, they might start with 10% employee-owned and work their way up. A lot of companies do that. Started a small portion and figure out how to go, but they quickly realize how much more productive people are when they're on their own boss. Mm-hmm. They turn the light out. They think through things. They don't want to leave. They're just, you know, very much more dedicated. If you've ever heard of Choate Construction here in Georgia, Smallwood Rentals, which is a well-known design firm, they are all employee owned. So it's just it's a kind of a forgotten secret. And it's really critical to the lifeblood of the community, which are small businesses. And the more people that can know this and remember this great vehicle,
yeah,
then we're here to show them how to do it. I was on a radio cast a couple of weeks ago I live here in Woodstock, and I was in on a radio program with a local business called ERB Industries. Mm-hmm. And they are just literally right down the street from me, and they were employee owned. And what happened was the CEO was on the program with me, and she told this story. She said, once they became employee owned, they became so successful. The employees were so proud to work there, not that they weren't before, but they knew that every penny earned in that company was going into their retirement, right, at no cost to them. So it behooved them to do their very, very best. Now, what happened with them, which has happened to a lot of companies, they become so successful that then they make the decision to sell. And so sometimes this is an interim vehicle, but most employee-owned companies just love it and never sell. You know, they don't want to lose their employees, and people don't want to go away. So,
right. Well, and that was going to be my first devil's advocate question. Isn't it part of the American dream to give birth to a company and get it to a point where some major mega company buys it and you get to retire on the millions of dollars you just made?
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And you can understand that very, very well. But what is lost when that happens is the legacy. So let's just look in some small rural town in Georgia, and let's just say it's a typewriter business. Mm-hmm. And it's always been ABC typewriter. So the name of the person, if they sell it to someone else, they're going to change the name. If the employees own it, it's going to stay right there in that community, and they're not going to change the name. They're proud of who they live. And so for the business owner that, mm-hmm, sells it back to the employees, their legacy lives on. And in a small community or anywhere, that's very, very important.
Right.
So it's the power remains in the hands of the community, not some outside company that comes in and snaps it up and perhaps brings in their own management team. And then the local people are out.
Right. My second devil's advocate question is that once you have an employee-owned company, doesn't that make high-level business decision-making difficult?
It does not. Now, there are several ways that they can become employee-owned, and I am not the expert. We have a large team of advisors to refer people to who are the experts, but there's something called worker co-op, where the employees are given a financial stake in the business now. And so as the business prospers, they are literally the board of directors. They have a vote apiece. Right. In an employee-owned company, in a profit company, the employees, it's deferred until they retire or leave the company. So there's typically a trustee who makes a lot of the decisions, not the employees, because there has to be a fiduciary vehicle there that could say to the employees, hey, you have increase profits so much, it doesn't make sense for you not to sell this company.
Right.
So that's kind of how it works.
That's pretty cool. And we're talking about this thing and not many nonprofits. I'm sure there are a lot of listeners right now who are going, what does this have to do with nonprofits? Because nonprofits aren't owned by anybody, right? And so the organizational structure doesn't really apply to them. So let's steer the conversation back towards a nonprofit management for a minute and tell us about your own organizational structure.
Okay. The reason that we are nonprofit is because we really, truly are nonprofit. Uh-huh. And what we do, we are simply the vehicle under our parent company, who is the Employee Ownership Expansion Network, EOX.org. And what they do is they set these state centers so that each state has a vehicle. And let me just tell you the story. This mm-hmm. owner who, the CEO of the company ERB Industries, when she went to an ESOP platform years ago, they had to go all the way to Chicago to find a lawyer.
Wow.
They could find plenty of good lawyers in Atlanta, but nobody who would help them venture forth into the ESOP world. Right. So they had to go all the way to Chicago. Well, somebody in Chicago, it's not, you know, very convenient. So the Georgia's, the state centers are here. We have advisors, we have people who we refer you to. And so we don't have to make any money because we're just the educational piece.
Right.
If that helps you a little bit understand, it took me a little while to get that too. But EOX Network plants state firms, and they've been around since 2019. And they are dedicated to having, in just a few years, a state center in every state.
Right.
It's a big job.
Which is, again, critical to community development, or at least community preservation, like you're saying. It's something we have to do, you know, in spite of the American dream to sell your company and make millions and go away. I think that that's a terrible decision for companies to make for a number of different reasons. And some of which we can get into today. Community preservation efforts being what they are, how do you get people to choose that? I mean, how do you get people to really look at the idea of legacy if they're just bent on going public and retiring?
Well, I think they just don't know the benefits. And that's the thing, you have to get in front of them. And so, for instance, some of the benefits to the businesses is higher productivity and growth. We've already sort of mentioned that.
Right.
Lower employee turnover, which is, you know, every small business has suffered through COVID, terribly suffered through COVID. Improve longevity and that legacy. And the employees have better pay and benefit. They have assets and business ownership and a voice in key decisions. Who doesn't want that? So the community also, it increased local spending, heightened civic engagement, and community wealth building. Let's just say that you have the janitor who works in an employee-owned company. They have the same opportunity to be an employee owner as the CEO. Where else can you do that? Now, to do that, they've got to stay there. They've got to be a protective worker, and they have to help that company look good and clean for people that come in and see them, you know, not to have safety hazards. So that lowly employee on some people's list, maybe the least paid, is still just as important, because if they are not a team player, company's not going to be as productive, but they might never, ever have a chance to own a business. And through employee ownership, they get a stake.
Yeah. And so employee ownership is actually a fantastic way to affect social change.
Absolutely. It's a way to affect social change. And in areas that are terribly neglected, I'm from Georgia. And so I have seen some of the very, very small areas of Georgia. I've lived in Florida. I've seen the same thing. My parents were from Alabama. There are areas in every single state that if they lose a business, they lose the town.
Yeah.
And so the same thing happens if that janitor loses his job, and it's a very small, or even let's just say higher management level person loses their job, they're going to have to leave the town.
Yeah.
And so it is absolutely a great way for, let's go back to Publix. Everybody that's in Publix, as long as they are there, is an employee owner. How great is that?
Yep, absolutely. So let's talk about the actual job that you had getting your feet on the ground in this role here in Georgia 2 years ago. Your mission, as I understand it, was to spread the word, right? Get in front of as many people as possible, many business owners as possible. How did you do that? And especially, how did you do that during times of COVID?
Well, the first thing that we did, and this was last July, my boss from EOX, Steve Storkin, he said, "Hey, I'm going next week to Jekyll Island to the Georgia Chamber Executives meeting. Want to go? Can you go?" And of course I ran. So we hit the ground running. We sponsored a booth and we spoke with all the chamber executives because they know that how important this is to community. And maybe they've forgotten about it, but they also have access to the Georgia Economic Development people, which are critical to any area. And so the next thing we did was we went to the Georgia Economic Development Association meeting in Savannah, and there were over 400 people there. So I have a bunch of business cards. I don't know when I'll ever follow up on those, but that's how you get started. And then fortunately, I saw you on LinkedIn again, and you're forgotten about you. I met you years ago. So I contacted you and said, "Hey, I'd like to tell the story. Going to be on a television show, Atlanta Business Network, soon in April. Been on the radio and also working with the small business development people. We've done a seminar for the 50 development gurus all across Georgia. And so that's what we're doing. And so if anybody listening to this has an opportunity to speak or just present somewhere, maybe put a little blurb in a newspaper, that's what we're doing.
I want to underline also that this is all about community development. This is all about individual enfranchisement within their communities. And it's all about, in some weird way, it's all about community diversity.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
It is absolutely the great equalizer. There are so many minority-owned businesses, especially in Atlanta and around Atlanta, and they haven't thought of this idea. And so banks, that's another great way, mortgage lenders, anybody that we can get in front of and say, who are your clients that need to hear this story? So any way we can tell it, that's what we're here to do. We're not here to sell you anything.
Right.
Because you may get the same answer. Let me get into what happens if you, please go to our new website, by the way. We have a brand new website. It's gaceo.org.
G-A-C-E-O.
And I am all over it.
Got it. I'm going there now. gaceo.org.
Yes. And so you cannot miss the buttons. Do you need some more information? There's a lot of informational videos on there. You can ask a question. You can look at our advisors. They're not all on there, but some of them are. We're still working on the website.
There's a ton of good information here, just even up front. This is a fantastic looking site.
It is, and it's brand new. I'm so proud of it. So if you click on that, I can't miss you. It's coming to me. You will get a call back.
It lands in your box, does it?
It lands only in my box, and I'm excited about that because it is the most fun I think I've ever had. I am a great believer in this, and I'd like to get in front of as many people as possible. Let me just interject a personal story. My parents were business owners here in Atlanta. They did not do the employee ownership venue, and when my father got sick in his late 70s, and they had to close their store. Had they known of this option, and it isn't right for everybody, you know, I don't know. You know, they might have, that name might still be out there.
Right. Wow.
So the steps, shall I go on and tell the steps?
Well,
so really what happens if you contact me and you say, "I'm interested in doing this," there are advisors who will look at your company and say, "This isn't right for you. You may be too small, but you're never too big," because some of the employee-owned companies have over 4,000. Look at Publix.
Right.
But you might be too small. It might not make sense. Or maybe you just have too much debt. And again, I'm not the technical person. I'm to get you to the technical person. But there is a point where it doesn't make sense. It won't be right for you. It won't be right for your employees. But it is right for so many. And the only way you're going to know that is to ask.
That's right. You wrote a couple things here I wanted to try to touch on before we close the episode. And, you know, again, since we are talking about community preservation and in community development and individual enfranchisement, what does a partnership look like for you? How do you partner with other organizations?
Oh, we have some great partnerships. And so does EOX, our parent company, by the way. Mm-hmm. For the Great Game of Business, and they're very involved. Project Equity, who, if you go on our website, there is the greatest map of Georgia. You can click on any, are you looking at it, Mickey? Can you see it? If you go on that map and you click on your county, it'll tell you how many small businesses, how many employee-owned businesses. Our website tells you about the employee businesses in your community.
Look at that.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So this is wonderful information for anybody, but especially economic developers or somebody that's interested in the community. Next week, I'm speaking at the Northwest Georgia Regional Commission. Mm-hmm. And they have 39 municipalities under them. And I hope I don't get this wrong, 15 counties, but they're regional commissions all over Georgia. I can get in front of them and they go, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Right.
I knew this family-owned business of dry cleaners or whatever, and they really need to hear this story. That's how it works.
This is amazing. Yeah. So this data comes from the census. Am I reading this correctly?
Yes. Project Equity is our partner in the research area. So they've created most of those forms that you see.
Yep.
The Kellogg Foundation has, not for us, but for the ESOP world in general, has done a lot of work. Why? Because they believe in communities and they know that employee ownership is just a piece of gold that needs to be revisited.
Heck yeah. So I'm going to read some figures real quick here, just to paint a little bit of color on our conversation. Fulton County, Georgia, 46% of businesses are owned by people age 55 and over.
Yeah.
DeKalb County, 48%. Clayton County, 53%. Henry County, where I used to live, 42%. In comparison with, you know, things that aren't around the metro area of Atlanta, and you're looking at the coast or near the coast, Jenkins County, Georgia, 93% of their businesses are owned by people who are 55 and over. That's just amazing. Calhoun County, 93%. I like the idea of employee-owned businesses, and you would think that a major metropolitan area like Atlanta, which has tons of small businesses scattered throughout it, would be more in line with this, but they're not, and I'm kind of shocked by that.
Think about the small business, that mom-and-pop business, and it may not be so small. Maybe it's pretty big.
Right.
Think about, they think that their kids are going to take it over. The kids aren't going to tell them they're not going to take it over. I mean, look at my family's business. My dad had three daughters. We were not into his business. So when the time comes, especially if it happens abruptly, something has to be done. And so there should be some succession planning, whether it's employee ownership or whatever. And so we can help with that. We have some wonderful advisors. And let me launch into this too. When we present, we try very hard to bring an employee-owned business owner or executive with us. We also bring an advisor, Kinseco, so I know I was going to say that wrong, advisors was on with me in the radio. And so they can answer some questions that I simply, you know, I'd be afraid I wouldn't give you the right information, but they can do it. So that's how we present. We don't just have me up there. We have an employee-owned company, someone from that company who talks about what it's really like to go through it. A few weeks ago, or months now, we presented to the Chattooga Chamber, and we had Packard. If you've ever known Packard Cars, you know that name.
Yep.
They are no longer employee owned because of what happened. They again got so productive that they made the decision, we will sell. But the CFO came and spoke, and she was just wonderful. She said, you know, it was the hardest thing, but it was the best thing in the universe. And had we had a center in Georgia, it would have been bada bing, you know, we wouldn't have had to go out of state. That's another example. They had to go out because it's been some time ago. Another example of how it just really exploded. And okay, they're not employee now, but they're very happy because the what transpired.
There are other nonprofits, I believe, that talk about community development, not just economic development entities and not just regional commissions, but what other kind of entities would you like to be talking to, 501c3s or 501c6s, as you spread the word about your mission?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. Well, anybody who's interested in sharing the wealth in the way that employee ownership does, anybody who wants to see the little guy have the same chance to excel and exceed. And I don't mean give them what they don't earn. I mean, give them what they do earn by being a wonderful employee, that they have the same chance. The janitor and CEO, again, they have the same chance to be as productive and a part of an owner. Those are the people I want to talk to. So minority-owned banks would be a great way to get in front of people. So there's a lot of, and you know, there's gazillions of nonprofits in Georgia. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
But anyone who wants to help people better get better in life and businesses succeed, that's who I'd want to talk to.
Very cool. I know we're just scratching the surface here, Marie. I know there's a ton of technical work that goes into explaining this as at a very granular level to your stakeholders. But we need to wrap the episode. If a listener had more questions for you, wanted to learn more about you and your mission, how would you suggest they find you?
Please go on the website and I'll be happy to, if I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you. Sit down with you one-on-one, if that's what it takes, or come and speak. And I'm a little nervous today, but sitting down with you with one-on-one, I'm never nervous. I'm happy to do that. But our website's great. It really, truly is. And our parent website, there are links on there to our parent website that even gives more information.
It is a beautiful website. Very informative. I'm definitely going to walk through it when we hang up today. And I do encourage any listener who has any interest in community preservation, community development, or even just raising people and giving them a voice in the decisions they have and the ability to stay in their own communities. This is definitely something that they should check into. Marie, is there anything else we should touch on before we wrap?
Well, we could talk for hours, but I thank you so much for the opportunity. And when we get a little further down the road, and my feet a little, I'm going to the national convention in Seattle next month. I'll be a whole lot smarter and better informed. I'd like to touch base and talk again when we get a little further down the road.
I would very much love that. Absolutely. The website one more time is gaceo.org, and everyone should definitely check this out. And in the meantime, thank you, Marie, for taking the time to make this recording with me today. I really appreciate it. And it's good to connect with you again.
Thank you so much, Mickey.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.